At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Let's talk about what happens when life completely rewrites your story and hands you the paintbrush instead of a plan. Today, I'm joined by the watercolorist, writer, and real-life phoenix, Jamie Townsend, which I love her name, by the way, whose journey from stay-at-home mom to caregiver, artist, and debut author is everything this show is all about. Unfiltered truth, radical creativity, and growth through the mess. We're talking about burnout, identity shifts, and why you don't need permission to reclaim your joy. So if you ever felt like you were drowning in everyone else's needs, this is for you. Like, subscribe, and share this episode because someone out there needs to hear this story starting right now. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me, Edna. I'm excited for our conversation.
Awesome. So tell me how you got into this moment that you say, wait, where did I go? And how did art help you find your way?
Well, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had loss in their life. Unfortunately, experienced quite a few years and a lot of loss. So after giving up my career to be a stay-at-home mom, and I was thinking, okay, now both my kids are in school full-time, I'm going to go back to work. It began a series of 8 very close family members passing away in a very short 6 years. And several of those losses were long drawn out terminal illnesses, including my father, my stepfather had Parkinson's for 8 years before he passed, and my stepsister had ALS for 7 years before she passed at age 50. And so I just went through this period of helping my loved ones leave this life and experiencing so much grief and sadness and giving of myself to my young children and losing myself through all those years.
Yeah. Well, we need to talk about that invisible transition of losing ourselves. Can you talk a little bit about that with the audience?
Absolutely. If I had been able to look at myself at age 20, when I met my husband, who's, you know, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, I was full of life. I was writing. I was traveling around the world. We were going to concerts all the time. I was up for anything. Our first date was getting tattoos. Like, I was just, I was excited about everything that the world was, you know, offering to me at that time. And then I, of course, you know, we got married and worked, and about 5 years into marriage, our first child was born, and that was exciting in its own way, but it was a huge shift for me and my attention, and all of my energy started going towards this little person. We were blessed that I could afford to stay home from work, but that blessing is a two-sided, you know, coin, because giving up your career is a really hard thing. A lot of our identity is wrapped up in our career, and a lot of the feedback that we get from the world on how we are contributing to society comes through that. And guess what? A toddler doesn't say, "Wow, you changed that diaper really well." Like, I went through several years of just feeling like, "What am I really doing here?" It's hard.
Yeah. It is. I can tell you during that period of time, and people always say, "Oh, the kids, you know, they identify with you, they become you." But it's the other way around. You become them.
Yeah. And there were still pieces of me in there. I would take them on these like adventure dates where we would go to the botanical gardens or the zoo or a little hike in our area. I'd do picnics in the park. But then again, like once they started being in school, that became less and less of something that I could do. And then everybody started getting sick, and I was no longer changing diapers, but I was still grocery shopping and laundry and running errands for people and visiting hospitals and doing things for everyone else that I was glad, again, to be in a position to be able to do. But none of the parts of me that brought so much joy and color to my life were able to really be nurtured during those years.
Yeah, that's good. It's obvious that loss has brought you a lot of lessons, and you bring up a great point that you get lost in all that shuffle. People think that creativity is optional, but you're going to share with us, you know, it may even be cute for some people because they do like drawings and things like that. But what did watercolor give you that therapy or self-help books couldn't?
Oh, I can tell you that so the period of losing so many loved ones so quickly ended in January of 2020. My stepfather passed away in January 2020, and then we all know what happened in March of 2020 in the whole world.
Yes.
And suddenly my kids, who had been in school full time, and my husband, who works in finance and was never working from home because that didn't exist before COVID, suddenly they're in the house, and I am providing for all of them, and I can't make a lot of noise because they all have to be on screens and everything, and it was driving me bonkers. I had been to so much therapy to deal with the grief, and I was walking. We had a puppy that we didn't know was going to be a pandemic puppy. He came home March 7th, so I had to take him out of the house, and I'd walk him 7 miles a day and listen to audiobooks, self-help books, fiction, everything, listen to podcasts, and I was a mess. I can tell you, Edna, I was brimming anxiety all the time. Yes. I was stressed.
Too much information.
And
so it was overstimulated. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I kid you not, doom scrolling as we all were doing, I kept coming across the same ad on social media for these watercolor lessons. And the more I watched them, it said, you know, we have free lessons on YouTube and use whatever supplies you have. And I decided to try it in July of 2020. And by Christmas of 2020, I was painting all day, every day, because those first few experiences of sitting down and setting the rest of the world aside and just slowing my heart rate, slowing my breath by focusing on something beautiful, putting that brush to the piece of paper, it changed my whole biology. It brought back creativity to my life, and it totally turned off the noise of all the scary junk that was happening in the rest of the world around me while I was painting. It was so valuable.
Yeah. Because creativity is part of us. And if we don't ever get to express it, it kind of gets bottled up in there. And then you're all over the place. It's like it's like a electricity ball. Like, it's pinging around. Like, you're like going crazy. Where does it go? What's going on? And I know for me, like you said, writing for me, I can sit and write all day. I can start at 11 a.m. And I promise you, I'll look up and it's 8 p.m. I'm like, what? Like, and it's like I was just started, you know, but I love it. I love writing and I get lost in it, you know, because that's such a soulish effort for us. Like, it's part of our lives.
So have you found that you've always been able to do that even in your darkest points? Because for me, I love writing, but in my darkest points, I couldn't. It was like my creativity had been shut down, and the watercolor was the way that I found my way back to it. I needed that bridge.
It was the not just the hand movement, but it was the eyes. Mm-hmm. So if you see, like, so you have two senses at once. It's probably that your eyes saw the colors and it woke the senses up. It was like a spark. Like someone with that, like, maybe loves to sing and stop singing, they hear something and it brings it back to them. So it's the senses that make it come alive. For me with writing, I could just look at something and I start seeing words, you know, I started like, oh, that's a great poem, you know, or I'll read somebody else's things and I'll be like, oh, wow. And it just starts flowing again. So it's just the senses.
I would say the sensory thing is really important in all of creativity. Yeah. It doesn't matter what your medium is. Using all of your senses is important. I would also say the thing that I've really figured out since I've gone through this experience is that stress and anxiety are very negative energies in our body that call us to draw ourselves inward. They really do. They say protect yourself by pulling in. And man, especially during COVID, I think all of us kind of did have to pull inward, and like the outside world is scary and who knows what will happen. And creativity is a positive energy that actually demands that we look outward, we express outward, we go outward, we share outward. And so I found that for me, the watercolor allowed me to tap back into that positive energy flow that would allow everything to go out instead of staying trapped and locked inside of me the way it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. So Jamie is also the author of Absorbed.
Yes.
And I thought this was fun. I will tell you, it was very colorful because it made you. And when I saw VCR, I was like, oh gosh, VCR. I was like, but it was fun. I mean, the pages and the words that you put together, it was almost like it was watercolor. I really liked that, the way you put it. Even the, like, just simple words, like you said, whistle. It was like, oh wow, I haven't heard that. And like, God knows how long, you know, it's like, okay, but it's a really good book out, and you guys need to pick it up. Stacey Chapman is the character, and she's dreaming of love and drowning in bed decisions. So find that out. All right. So since we're talking about absorb, but go ahead, Jenny. Yeah.
What I did with the book was I was sort of sharing my own experience with watercolor through the experience of a teenager in the 90s. Yeah. The whole story, goes back in time and all the pop culture and everything of the 90s. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of the issues teenagers dealt with then are the same ones teenagers are dealing with now.
Always.
As a mom of teenagers, I wanted to speak to other moms and say, you got to give compassion to your kids because you've been there before. So,
yes. Yeah. So you've experienced the chaos of the in-betweens, parenting teens while supporting aging parents. Micro moments of peace and burnout, and then relatable stories for your audience, to your own audience for this book, Absorbed. You write about absorbing everyone else's needs. Yeah. What advice would you give to the women in the audience who feel like they've barely holding on?
I would definitely encourage anyone who's listening right now that you don't need to be an artist, and I'm saying that in quotes. You don't need to define yourself as somebody who's necessarily a writer or a painter or anything in order to have a creative outlet for just 15 minutes a day that can bring back that joy and that positive energy, and it can feed into the rest of your life. I definitely, on a daily basis, no matter how chaotic my life is, I'm journaling every day and I'm sketching and painting in my journal. And it brings me so much peace and it gives me so much inspiration and joy and energy to go through the rest of my day. So if anything, I would say, please make a habit of carving out that little bit of time for yourself because it'll make a world of difference.
Yes, it will. Okay, so I want to go to your experience from artist to author. How did this fiction help you tell your truth?
Oh, so the watercolor really, it brought back my creativity. I ended up going to get my master's and online. And then I started my thesis project. I started the first 10,000 words of this novel. And it had been a dream of mine to be a novelist. And so your 40s is never too late to accomplish that goal. Absolutely. So I did, but I have teenage girls and there are days where teenage girls don't feel like they can really talk to their moms. And when I was writing this novel, I was going right back to my own arguments with my own mom. And I was putting down on the page. I was listening to the music from the 90s and eating the foods and looking at Clueless and Baywatch and 90210 and Dawson's Creek. And I was like putting myself.
Dawson's Creek. I can't forget that one. Dawson's Creek. I can't get that one.
And then as the news would be sharing things about what's happening now with, with consent issues or with Planned Parenthood, it took me right back to in the 90s, Planned Parenthoods were being bombed. And
yes, absolutely.
Girls having a voice in terms of sexual consent was a big deal then. It was finally getting, a voice. And I really was dealing with issues that we're dealing with now. I was just doing it in 1996 in my book. And it was so therapeutic to write that way and to give my main character a mom who could be empathetic and help her get through the worst crisis imaginable, right? Because I wanted to talk to Gen X moms now and even millennial moms now who have teenagers and say, you have the tools to be empathetic, to deal with these things with your kids now, because guess what? We haven't evolved as far as we should have as a society. And these things are still so real around us.
Yes, absolutely. And we're talking pre-show about, college and your daughter and my grandson for next year. Yeah. And I wanted you to share that with the audience, what your daughter is going to, you don't say anything, but how you're just expanding that creativity with your daughter going to college.
Oh, well, This year, especially when you talk about the chaos of being between, I moved my mother out of her house of the last 26 years into a retirement community. And this summer, I am moving my daughter cross country to go to college as a freshman, 4,000 miles away from me. I think the way that I'm really using creativity with both of these is they are both huge milestones in my life. They are both extremely stressful. I'm feeling, like, oh, I'm not ready for this, or oh my gosh, my mom, how do I have to be in charge of her at the same time I'm raising teenagers? But the creativity really helps me to manage that stress and to look at everything from a better, more positive lens, and to really live in the moment with each of them, because these are huge milestones in their lives. And I want them to be positive, enjoyable experiences. And I want to help them have that by being a facilitator of that joy instead of contributing to extra stress in the situation.
That makes sense. So you're not only, helping them complete their goals, you're actually setting goals to support them in for yourself. That's a lot of it, a lot of in-betweens.
And to hopefully set an example for them that, we can all stay chill and enjoy this if we all have the tools we need to, keep our heads on straight and be calm and full of joy about the transition rather than just stress cases about it.
Do you think your life is going to slow down once these two transitions take place?
So my mom has moved in, and unfortunately, our parents that are in their later retirement years, it's kind of like a teenager's in reverse. So they are tiny, and we have to do more and more and more for them, right? And I have another child who's going to be going to school in 2 years. So I don't see my life getting any less. And that's, that's to be honest with your listeners also. My mother-in-law just passed away in February. We haven't stopped losing people. The grief that life throws at us, the chaos that it doesn't go away. It's just that creativity has given me a way to manage it. Still find success and achieving life goals, despite how hard everything got.
What does it really look like to put yourself back at the center when the world is still spinning and needs, there's needs to be met and there's so much noise?
To me, it's like what we hear on the airplane. It's like I finally figured out how to put that oxygen mask on myself first, so that I can help all the people around me. And so I love them all, and I want to just keep on having them live their best lives. But I need to be alive, living my best life in order to do that, right? So the creativity is really, it is that oxygen mask for me.
That's good. That's good. I was trying to hush my dog up because he was like barking.
Mine are locked in my bedroom right now so that they won't be making noise.
You think it's like the boss of everything. So we're going to go back to the book now. What was your favorite part? Because I know you really, you just told us that you really got into the part of, where you were taking a time travel, and you even were listening to the music, you watching the videos. It was great. Like, that's like time travel. Like, you did some time traveling with this. But what was your favorite part of the time travel?
I think my favorite part, honestly, is I am a big music fan. My husband and I are big music fans. And to go back and include what albums were coming out in the summer of 1996 and what was popular music at that time, and to see No Doubt and Blink 182 and Sublime and Green Day all having a resurgence now, it just it was so invigorating as a music fan. And then also just, looking at the things that I remembered happening in my teenage years, like the Summer Olympics that was in Atlanta that year, and okay. the movie Independence Day coming out and waiting in line. Oh, because back we'll in the day, you didn't buy a seat. You bought a ticket and you had to go get that seat. And so you had to wait in line for hours. And just, it was like really being young again. And without social media and cell phones that we have now, it was a nice escape. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that you time traveled. You've given me something. Audience, this is great for all our writers out there, all those that want to start writing. If you're going to go somewhere, if you're going to take your story back to another world, another time, get in character.
Yes.
It invigorates your creativity. What a great piece of information. You know, even when I get my my times when I can't concentrate or I'm coming up blank, I'm going to go back and just go back in time. That is so good. Such good information. I love that.
I built a Spotify playlist that I had going that was all music that would be relevant for then. I made Pinterest boards, but I also just actually made a real scrapbook of inspiration for all the characters. Yeah. I hadn't had a Mr. Pibb soda since I was 15 years old, and I went and bought one so I could make sure I knew what it tasted like, because.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is so good. So is there one piece of information you could give to the audience right now that just pops into your head?
Don't give up on those dreams. No matter how hard life has gotten, you can achieve them. You can still live that life you want. It may not look exactly the way you thought it would. It might even turn out better, but you've got to just put one step in front of the other and just keep on moving towards that goal, because you can achieve it.
That's awesome. So Jamie Townsend just reminded us that healing doesn't always look like a breakthrough. Sometimes it looks like watercolor. It looks like pausing. It looks like totally different than you ever wanted to be. And even it could be on your kitchen table. However, 15 quiet minutes, that's all you need. Yeah. If you're in the season of becoming or reimagining or simply surviving, know this, your story still matters. That's what Jamie is reminding us. Art is the birthright. Joy is a form of resistance. Mm-hmm. And you don't need anyone's permission to reconnect with yourself. So subscribe, and get the book absorbed, and share this episode with someone who's been pouring from an empty cup, and tell them it's time to fill up and get back in. One brushstroke at a time. I'm Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Jamie Townsend. We're saying goodbye for now, and just keep it real, all on purpose.
Thank you so much, Edna.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BVJobs to 97211 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.